At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, and welcome back to our podcast on Wealth Magic. This is Mars, and once again, I'm joined today by our very own Pixie Dust.
Hey, guys.
And Jasmine.
Hello.
Now, before we get started, I want to do a quick recap. Wealth Magic is a powerful grimoire developed by Damon Brand and his colleagues over at the Gallery of Magic. The goal of the book is to take the occultists through a journey of 7 rituals over a course of about 6 months to enable a life of unlimited wealth. The first ritual, as we discussed, was an alchemical rite designed to remove the blockages that exist within the occultist. The second ritual forms a pact with 3 powerful angels that render the occultist omnipotent and sets the tone for the mysteries ahead. The third ritual puts the first 2 to the test by facilitating an environment that is conducive to allowing money to flow into you and through you. The fourth ritual is with the Archangel Raziel, and we discussed how this ritual provides the intuition and awareness needed to perceive the forces outside of your control, to better analyze opportunities that are in harmony with what you are commanding the universe be manifested. The fifth ritual is all about stimulating change and removing blockages by invoking powerful alchemical spirits to elevate your ability to operate successfully in the world. The sixth working is all about bestowing wealth and honors upon the practitioner, giving you unforgiving power in the eyes of important stakeholders, offering priceless reputation. And now, today, folks, we are happy to be discussing the seventh working. And final working.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very happy indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, we're going to read through the flow of the book really quickly and kind of discuss the first part, which is the sigil and the talisman itself, right? So, as you all are aware, the final working employs a demon of wealth, which gives you the ability to attract new opportunities, bring good luck, and increase your wealth. The beginning of the ritual has you kind of start through sort of a visualization, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of tells you to kind of consider the universe, know that you're unprotected, kind of gives you this idea that you need to be aware of unlucky events that may happen in your life.
It's noticing your immortality, too.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And then kind of giving you an opportunity to solidify your right and your power in this ritual. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I agree. I do like that they make us aware of at any moment your heart could stop, you know? And just kind of right-sizing you, but also, you know, like you said, recognizing the power at the same time.
So who is Klonic? Like, this, like, everyone gets to the point in this book where they're reaching, like, the Don Dada. Like, you go through all of these rituals, the painstaking second ritual, everyone knows about that, and everything before it, to get to this point. And I believe that the preceding rituals are so important, right? They're giving you this moment that you have right here. But who is Klonic? Why is he so big? Like, what's his deal?
You want me to start giving the background here at this point, or?
Yeah.
All right, so Klonic comes from a book called Grimorium Birum, which is a very somewhat obscure grimoire, and it appeared in something around 1800, but it was said to be written more than 200 years earlier, around 1500 something. And the person who was said to have written it is Alibek the Egyptian something. It's very obscure, and basically this is, it's a grimoire very influential Glamour, but somewhat obscure because some of the spirits that are in this book are much lesser known. And they're different spirits. They're not like the Goetic demons. They're completely different. And it's also a different method of working because these spirits are usually under Lucifer, Astaroth, or Beelzebub. And Klaunek is, that's something I have to say. He is supposed to be sitting right next to Lucifer, and he's supposed to have control over the astral vault. So if you think of, you know, the central bank of whatever country you're in, and if you think that, you know, the astral world,
he's the guy.
Has the astral, you know, the vault, like where all the wealth is kept, he's the guy.
Hmm.
Right? He has access to it. And he has power over it, so he can make you gain a lot of money. I can actually read the most famous excerpt of the Grimorium Verum, where it talks about him, because again, there is not that much known about him. There's 18 spirits or 18 servants that work under a duke that is named Surach. Yeah, and he has 18 inferior spirits that work under him. And Klaunek is the first one. And it is said, according to Grimorium Verum, Klaunek has power over goods and riches and can help find hidden treasures for those that make a pact with them. He can give great riches, being greatly loved by Lucifer. And it is he who makes him bring the money. Obey him and he obeys. Yeah, that's it. So... yeah, I think.
And that's interesting.
Should give you guys an idea about who the spirit is.
You know, when I first heard this and I first figured out that Klaunek was essentially, you know, in a hierarchy system just beneath Lucifer, or at least submitted to him at his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I literally freaked out because I thought, like, whoa, like. This is like serious. This is serious stuff. It's a little different when you're working with, you know, a system that, you know, I'm sure most of us are all familiar with, which is the demons of magic and the 72 demons thereof. And, you know, I just think, like, I've had such good success with that. But I had never, ever, even in my wildest dreams, thought of, like, you know, sort of knocking on that door and working with very, very high magic. And I mean, like, wealth magic just tells you that it's a demon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, man, you're just like, oh, okay, well, this is probably, like, you know,
a demon of wealth.
A demon,
just
yeah.
A demon.
Yeah. This is a
demon of wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking, oh, this is another walk in the park. You know, I've had great success in the past with demons. You know, I'm a demon evocator. But, like, yeah, like, this was big. So let's talk about the sigil, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sigil's really interesting. I think it's unique in a way. I don't know. What do you think about the talisman, Yasmin?
Okay, so if you read Grimorium Verum, there is three characters given for Lucifer, and there is one, the one with the circle and all of that, and basically if you Google Klaunek by himself, you'll see which part of it is Klaunek. But basically what the Gallery of Magic did here is they took Klaunek's sigil and put it inside of the Lucifer sigil, because the Grimorium Verum is traditional high ceremonial magic. It's a long operation where you're supposed to purify and exercise the salt and the water, and then read this oración, and then then go through this other spirit, which is like a skirlin. So it's a long operation. It's not easy to do at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite complex, actually. And so what they did is in order to form the connection, they're using this
talisman,
right? Because the way they write it again is that the spirits all either go through Lucifer, Astaroth, or
mm-hmm.
Beelzebub, and this is clearly the Lucifer one. And yeah, they put Klaunek in there, and it's the one that is like the lowest.
So basically what you're saying is that this talisman essentially can originally be found in the Grimmerium Vorum, right?
Yes.
First of all.
But,
Grimmerium Vorum. Theorem, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I apologize. I wanted to make sure I got that correct.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've done is if they added a small change to it, which was to put the sigil of Klonic in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that this talisman, when used this way, is an effective way?
Because there is like the shortcut, you know? So because you're skipping the other steps and you're supposed to go through these other spirits and call the Skirlin and whatever, and they said, okay, let's make a shortcut. I mean, this is just how I interpret this. So,
yep.
Okay, let's take, you know, Lucifer's talisman and then put Klonic in there so we make sure we get the correct spirit, and it's also empowered in a way because we go through Lucifer.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I think it's interesting that there's absolutely no mention of Lucifer in this at all. You know, like, yeah. I mean, because it's minority of this is Klonic's sigil.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's because you're not calling him directly. It's just more, it is similar to...
I guess it's unnecessary information, but it's still...
Yeah, it's similar to me to when, you know, in a lot of, like, the angelic books, you will also put other names of gods around in a way. It's just to form the connection. Or in the angel book, they go through Raziel. You know what I mean? It's just there is a power in going through, like, the superior spirit. And in this case, according to Grimorium Verum, Lucifer is the superior in this situation. So it would make sense to just use the talisman without to ever mention him, but still it will still be empowered and go through him in a way and be authentic, because also I don't want to skip forward already to the words of power, but because this is the conjuration to the inferior spirit, it is not necessarily specific to Klonic.
Yep.
That's what makes sure that you know it's still authentic, it's all taken from the original procedure. So it made sense, because if they would have not used the Lucifer thing at all, then it's like then would have been less powerful, because especially in combination with the conjuration, because it is specific to this ritual that the Grimorium Verum gives you. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just they kept the most important part. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
The conjuration is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had something you wanted to say about it, but in essence, what is it? I mean, what are we, obviously we're conjuring Klonic, but what's going on here?
Okay, what is going on is that in Grimorium Verum, like I mentioned before, there is superiors, it's a hierarchy. And there is, you know, specific conjurations to Lucifer, Beelzebub, whatever, and to certain superior spirits, to just the superiors, but since Lucifer is an inferior that is even working under Duke Siraj, which is kind of confusing to me, because he's not even mentioned much, but those 18 servants, they have, like, I guess, I pictured almost, like, in a company, like, the supervisor. It's not the big boss, but it's some supervisor of the 18 servants,
mm-hmm.
which Klonic is the first of.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then the Grimorium Verum gives you the conjuration to the inferior spirits.
So these are basically spirit names that we're going through.
That's the thing, to be honest. Well, I do not recognize the language at all. It seems to be some secret magic language.
Mm-hmm.
Or it seems to be maybe other entities, but it's also not the servants. It's not like the names of the servants. It is something different, and I don't recognize the language. But like I said, the Grimorium Verum is somewhat of an obscure book. So to me, yes, they do sound like some kind of spirits, but I do not know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this conjuration is used for all the lesser spirits. It's because it says in the Grimorium Verum, conjuration of the lesser spirits.
And those conjuration of the lesser spirits are essentially what we're saying here, right?
Yes, that's exactly what, yeah.
Okay.
Because, but that is correct, because that is what you would use for any of those, to get any of those 18 servants.
Definitely. Hmm. That's awesome. And it seems like with this, like, you know, we're not getting some made up, you know, new age stuff that, like, you know, is being invented or untried. It looks like we are using a solid conjuration that actually has a lot of egregore and energy to it.
Oh, yes, for sure. And, yeah, this is hundreds of years old.
Yeah, we're connecting to very powerful magic that has, you know, endured thousands. Who knows? Thousands is not even the right number. But, you know, uncountable amounts of rituals. So, you call Klonik under the power of the sacred names Adonai, Iel, and Elohim. And then you're asked, while you're staring at the talisman, to tell him that you want your well to expand, and not to specify, but just telling Klonik, hey, you know, when I have this kind of money, this is like what I want, right? And this is like where it gets interesting for me, at least, because like I have like personal stories about it. I mean, first of all, like I come from like a poor background, right? I had no money. I had nothing. I mean, I was just telling you guys today how, like, you know, one of the rituals that I did, the first ritual that I ever did, which is with an angel, was just so I can buy my kids Christmas presents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet today, like, you know, just recently, actually, I had an interesting revelation happen to me. My daughter had picked up a dandelion and said, you know, Dad, make a wish and blow it, right? And the suggestion is that if you blow the dandelion, if you blow off all the, what are those called, stems?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever they are.
Yeah, petals.
Petals, yeah.
Yeah.
That if you, you know, if you blow them all off with one blow, then your wish comes true or whatever. And so so as she handed me the dandelion, I like, kind of at that exact moment, I was thinking about, you know, what to wish for, and my mind kind of drew a complete blank. This happened a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
Because the thing is I couldn't think about anything to wish for, right? Because it was basically at this moment I realized that everything I told Klonik that I wanted to do with my money, the things that I wanted to purchase, the lifestyle, the status, it was in this exact moment that I realized that it all happened. It's already happened.
That is
beautiful. I just got chills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just such a powerful ritual. You go through all of these workings to get to this point, and it's euphoric.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you, like, the, I mean, when I first got, like, my job that I'm currently working at now, like, making, like, the offer that they gave me, like, I showed it to my wife, and, like, I, like, looked at it. Obviously, I had it, and I'm just sitting here thinking, like, this can't be true. I pinched myself because I believed that I was dreaming. Right? I was just ecstatic, obviously, and the whole feeling was euphoric. I had never had such a good thing happen to me before in my life. And it was this moment that everything pivoted for me, right? It was, I, you know, was able to fix my credit score, which was terrible. You know, I, like, not money related, but one of the things I also told Klonik too was that I wanted to improve my relationship with my daughter. And that was like, you know, this is kind of like a twofold point, but you have to be careful what you wish for, right? And I mean this in a good way, because your interpretation of what wealth is ultimately is what will happen for you. And so if you need to revise your visualization plan while you're talking to Klonik, or you need to really truly think about what wealth means to you, make sure you do that before this. But anyway, one of the wishes that I had was that I could improve my relationship with my oldest daughter, who's 14 years old. And this is like a manifestation of wealth, because I thought that, you know, maybe not money related, but that if I was happy to enjoy my wealth with my daughter, and that we have such a good relationship where we can enjoy each other's company together, this would be the ultimate, you know, feeling right here. I was soon enough able to fix my credit, buy a house for my family, become a landlord, buying multiple properties, and, you know, like, just doing all these things in such a short period of time. All of this from what? From taking action, of course. I didn't, you know, wait for the money to come for me. I didn't wait for these opportunities that came for me. I actively went out there, and I got some rejection. I did. You know, a couple of times I felt like, geez, this book, you know, I don't know, what's up? Like, it's, why isn't it working? But the opportunities that came and the moments that I felt intuitively that, hey, I'm going to seize this and this is going to work, they outweighed the amount of times that I felt like there was a failure.
Definitely.
That's an awesome story.
Thank you. Yeah.
So happy for you.
I've been, you know, taking note, sort of going back and realizing the transformation that Wealth Magic has brought to my life as well. And I say a transformation because it has transformed me just in like the 2-3 years after doing it. I mean, I have done it twice, but I mean, in ways that I never even thought possible. And by that I mean, you know, on the outside and on the inside, materialistically and internally, mainly internally, as far as what I thought possible. And I only finished the second round this past year, I think in April or maybe a little earlier, but anyways, so I don't believe that the results have fully manifested. I mean, I know they haven't, but I can also feel that I'm on my way to what I asked for, and I can already see some of these manifestations coming, because the second time that I did Wealth Magic was a lot more focused, and I was just in a more evolved and different place than I was the first time I did it. The first time, like I was saying earlier, I really did not know what I was getting myself into. You know, like it was the second Gallery of Magic book I'd done. The first one was Magical Cash Book, you know, and I'd gotten a little success with that, and I was like, let me just jump right into Wealth Magic. And that was the best thing I could have done, honestly. And so when I did it the second time, I asked Clownek, you know, I like that they say don't specify how you want the wealth to increase, because we never know how anyways, you know. I mean, and usually what we expect to happen isn't going to happen
exactly
anyways. But, you know, we can visualize what we want, and, you know, like that, like you said, our definition of wealth and everything. And I think the rituals, you know, preceding this, hopefully, can inspire some thought behind what wealth means to you. You know, like, because you're doing them for 122 days actually before you get to this one. So, and you know, so hopefully you have some time to think about it. So when I was there, you know, I specified like freedom of my time and freedom of my money. And you know, as a creative person, like, there's these creative projects that I hope to gain wealth from in the future, because they're not fully manifested and done yet. But like, you know, during that second round, I even got a job that allows me to, first of all, I got this job where I make more money than I've ever made in any job, and I do the least amount of work than I've ever done in any job. And while I'm on the clock with this job, like, I have the time to work on the creative projects that I struggled to find time for before, when I was working like older jobs, you know, and just like not happy and knew it wasn't fulfilling, you know, when I was like bartending and serving, like, it was just like, I was done with that. And so I got that, you know, that's the first manifestation, but like, that's not all I asked for, you know. And I mean, not everything's going to happen, you know, overnight, obviously. But even just within, like, all this has happened in less than a year, you know. I mean, and the transformation from when I first started this in 2019, I mean, holy shit, like, I mean, pardon my French, but, like, it's like a 180, I guess, not a 360, because, you know, like, and it's, you know, totally evolved me as a magician and as, as a magician and just a spiritual person. I've learned so much, you know. I mean, I've met so many people that I continue to learn stuff from, like, you guys included. I mean, here we are. Can I give out our location right now? We're in Salem, Massachusetts, you know.
All filming together.
This is the first podcast that we've actually been in person recording, you know, that's not online. And we're from three different states and multiple states from the other people that have been in this podcast along the way. And, like, what a beautiful thing that is. You know, like, we were all strangers, Amen. You know? Like, all strangers. And now here we are sitting, like, because of this book. And I consider both of you guys friends, you know, and that's a level of wealth in and of itself, in my opinion, to me. And it's cool to be able to watch my own wealth and y'all's wealth grow together, you know, and like see us all rise up we're meant to. And I know we're not done yet, so we still got more growing to do, but yeah.
You think it's worth doing it a third time?
Third time's a charm, yeah. You know?
It's only my second time. I'm starting soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever wants to join.
I feel like the first time around, it was interesting. I did see some changes, but I have to admit that the reason why the first time I feel didn't work for me was because I did not understand the definition of wealth. Mm-hmm. And so my interpretation of it was, you know, not in line with what I really, really, like, wanted for myself. You know, like, when I visualized what a wealthy person was, I wasn't distinctly, like, describing it properly, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, these two were not in line. But I feel like the second time around, you know, like I've said before in the previous podcasts, you know, I believe magic comes from a place of pain, right? Mm. And you know, I had, like, just a painstaking time, like, going through wealth magic, really not seeing the results that I had hoped for, but also, you know, kind of being, you know, going easy on myself and saying, you know, you need to try this again with a little bit more clarity, and stuff like that. And I believe that the second time I did it, the results happened exponentially. Like, everything manifested extremely fast. Like, my wife tells me to this day, like, you're so lucky. Mm-hmm. And she knows about, like, all of this. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's not luck. It's truly a blessing. It's not luck at all. And it's what, you know, it's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it's what she wanted. And you know, these things are what keep us, you know, everyone, you know, some people out there will tell you, geez, you know, money's not everything, or money doesn't bring you happiness.
But mm-hmm. you know who says that? Broke people.
Poor
say
people.
That. Yeah. Only brokes, no wealthy person.
People with lack mindsets.
It is such nonsense, because money will bring you happiness on some level, and a lot of people do not have enough money, and to not have enough money is pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Just in this world.
It can be.
We don't live on a mountain in Tibet, probably. Mm-hmm. None of us do, but I don't think anyone of our listeners are so. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a very materialistic world, and in order to not only survive, but thrive and enjoy it.
Have fun.
You know, you need some financial needs. That's
I believe money does bring happiness.
Yeah, I do too.
Money makes the world go round.
Yeah, and you know, money talks, bullshit walks. Excuse my French. But like, I know that, like, having money, like, I'm able to just, you know, do anything that I want, and like, you know, if I want to go on vacations, like, that was another thing that I told Klonic that I wanted. To go, like, to travel more, to travel and view the world, mm-hmm. learn new cultures, and culture my children as well. Mm. You know, that was like a big ask as well, and it's manifested, and I have it now. Third time, sorry, were you gonna say something?
I did have something, but I don't want to interrupt your train of thought.
Well, I was just gonna say, a third time for me, like, I'm like such a humble person, and like I was telling you guys earlier, like, I just feel like I'm at a point right now where, you know, anything else that I could ask for would just be, like, you know, high extreme luxuries that, I mean, I don't know, maybe like a yacht, Like, you know, right. I've often toyed with the idea of, like, doing wealth magic focused on being, like, on Forbes list. But, like, I mean, just this thing is so powerful. Like, mm-hmm. I truly believe that you can. Like, this is, like, if you put this to the test, mm-hmm. you could hit the Forbes list.
You know but, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you finish yours? Because I was thinking about, like, the unexpected results that I'm realizing kind of now were a result, but more or less, I mean, it may have happened with or without wealth magic, but I mean, I literally gained a new, I mean, this may not happen for everybody, but me personally, I gained a new family during this time of doing wealth magic. And for me, this is like a family that I is a good, not that I had a bad family before, you know, I have great, like, it's a complicated story I'm not getting into right now, but just the wealth of this family bond and this connection and these, like, you know, it's something that I had always dreamed of, literally. It's something I always felt, like, the like siblings and stuff, and I always wanted this, like, secure, solid family unit. You know, not perfect, but that's something I actually gained, and I don't even think it's something I realized I wanted, but I truly feel wealthier. Like, it is definitely a level of wealth. And, like, I mean, like I said, it maybe would have happened without this book, but I don't think I would have seen it as a result of wealth or even as, like, a wealthy, like, I don't know, thing if I hadn't done this book, you know, or if I didn't have the perspective on wealth that I do now after having done this book. And, you know, because of that, now I'm so grateful for it. Like, it just makes me more grateful because I realize, like, that that's a richness that it brings to my life, because they're connections, you know, and life's about relationships and everything. And so, I mean, like I said, not everyone's going to gain a new family from doing this, you know, but for me, that was just a really cool, like, beautiful thing that manifested in addition to, you know, money earned and other things too.
Yeah.
Wealth is a very flexible definition, I guess, or multiple meanings.
You can have a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. You can have a wealth of friendships. You can have a wealth of materialistic objects.
Mm-hmm.
It's all based on your interpretation. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Great point.
Yeah. And I do love just the perspective shift that this book has brought me in regards to how I think about wealth. Because, oh my God, like, before, I was, what, 25, 24 when I started this book? I mean, I was, and I mean, regardless of age, like, as far as being an occultist and being a magician, like, I did not consider myself a magician or an occultist, or even somebody that was smart with finances, you know, like, starting this book, I was in a very low point, you know, I had nothing to lose. I felt like, how could I go any lower than I've already gone? Like, I'm really not even afraid of that because, like, I've already been to the bottom. And, you know, and that was really what made me do it, you know? Is I was like, I literally have nothing to lose. Like, I've lost everything already. You know, if I lose the stuff I have now, it's not going to be that much. So, you know, and now here we are. And I've, like just completely different. I just feel like a completely different person, almost.
I love that so much because, like, same here. Like, I can't even describe, like, what the feeling is, like, reaching this point for me. But, like, it's almost hard to think that, wow, like, I was the same person you were describing earlier, like, just not even hesitating this. Like, just mm-hmm. saying, like, there's nothing that could be worse mm-hmm. than this. Like, often people talk about skipping the angels of omnipotence too.
Oh, no. Yeah.
To you know, go directly to all the other rituals in the event to like avoid the disruption. That, but the disruption is so necessary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I tell them the same thing. It's like, look, you have to decide whether this is like really important for you, mm-hmm. and if it is, then if you feel like there's another way to go about this,
mm-hmm.
then do that first. But if you're going to commit to this, do it the right way, obviously. What's worse, being and living in a life of poverty or putting everything at stake with this book, going all in and doing it?
And it's really like feeling stuck in that life of poverty, you know, like not even giving yourself the option to do anything about it.
Well, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to imagine what that life would be when all you live is what you're currently seeing right now. I mean, how feasible is it to think about that, to visualize yourself being in that situation? It's incredibly difficult.
It's incredibly difficult. I do like, though, that Damon writes in the book, he says, commit to the magic and you will get what you truly want. Commit to all the magic, though, you know, from beginning to end, like, in order. you will. And I think, you know, what the coolest part is, it's not like a superficial want either. Like, it's like a truth to me. Like, it's my authentic self. It's aligned me more with my authentic self, and like the things that I want, like that I'm manifesting, are things that I'm passionate about. You know, it's not just like I want this job because it makes a lot of money. It's like, no, I love to do this or whatever, and you know, like I know that this could be a lucrative, like whatever or something, you know. And along the way, I've gotten another job, you know, that does make me more money and can support like these other hobbies that I would like to turn into money making things eventually, but I'm not passionate about that job. You know, I love it. Like, it's a great job for now, and I'm happy to do it, but, like, it's not my passion, and that's okay. You know, it's definitely a better job than I had when I started this. I'm not a train of thought right there, but...
That's okay. Yasmin, like, you're actually in the process of releasing a book pretty soon on Clonic.
Yes.
Like, what was your inspiration behind doing that?
I've done the Wealth Magic book once. I started working with them actually before about Wealth Magic, to be honest. But so it's just a spirit that is very close to me, and I just feel there is not a lot of information about them, as we see with Grimorium Verum. It's all very obscure, and I just want to offer a little bit more information on how he works, because he has a kind of specific way of working. Maybe we should talk about this a little bit more. Because, so how he works and how other... And I want to give people different options on how to work with him, and... That's all. It's one of these things. I just feel like I want to get the information out there, and yes, it was just something. It needs to be done, and I'm happily doing it because he's so obscure. But I see there is so much interest because of course, he is such a great demon to work with, and he's the demon for wealth. Yes, there's other demons that can bring you wealth too, but. He just has a very unique way, and again, there's not a lot of information about him, so I just wanted to contribute to, you know, the knowledge that is out there, and just give more practical ways to work with him, because I feel like there's not that much out there.
That's awesome. No, and thank you for your contribution. Mm-hmm. I really hope it goes well. What's the name of the book?
I'm not going to say it yet, but it will... Clownic is part of the name, so...
Yeah. Got it, okay.
But I will share this.
All right. Well, we look forward to that.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as Clonic's energy is concerned, I don't know. I felt like the energy was pretty, like, low-key for me, honestly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that might have been because of where I was doing it. I mean, just to remind you all, like, you're supposed to do this at, like, close to sunset, or as close to sunset as possible. I had such a unique living situation where during that time of the day, like, I lived in a small house with all of my family, so I couldn't do it. So I actually got in my car and would drive down to, like, the behind the building of the high school in my city, in my community, and, like, I would face, you know, the sunset, because I had a nice sunset. And I would just, like, do it there. What kind of energy vibes did you guys get? Did you get anything?
It depends. I mean, Yeah, I mean, his presence depends for me. Like, sometimes it's super obvious and he speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not as much. But what I wanted to point out about him is, that's just my experience. Like, the results are super obvious with Klonik.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and he's one of these spirits. Like, not every spirit will let you know that it's him, but he has his ways. Like, he will almost put a stamp on something and be like, mm-hmm. Hey, this is me, by the way, doing this for you.
Oh
he
my
will
God,
send you
so
signs. So even if you, even
yeah, really.
If you may not feel him one day, but the way that he brings results, and it can be quite aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to comment on that really quick, because I just feel like he is slightly better to work with if you have a little bit more of a flexible income. Like, I don't know how he works with a 9-to-5 situation.
Mm-hmm.
I hear stories that people just get fired just to upgrade their job.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you're self-employed or you have some kind of commission work, then, or, you know what I mean, or independent contractor, self-employed entrepreneur, anything that has a bit more flexibility in the income, he has more space to work with. I mean, that is in general with wealth magic. It is more difficult if you are on a fixed income every single month.
Mm. Yeah.
But I heard stories from several people that he will make you lose your job, but he will bring you a better job.
Mm.
You won't be, you know, you will be better off after, but it just seems like if you are more of a free, you know,
mm-hmm.
more, if you have more flexibility, he works especially well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, he works aggressive. That's what I'm saying, and that confirms that's why people sometimes lose their jobs.
Hmm. It's a disruption. Hmm.
Yeah.
Along the way.
Yeah. I think about that a little bit, and I often used to say, you know, this isn't a very disruptive ritual, but
mm-hmm.
In a way, it kind of was for me, actually,
mm-hmm.
because it's like you said earlier, and I, like, totally agree. You, like, underscored it when you said that, like, he like, works in a very exaggerated way, and it's so true. It's, like...
It's so obvious.
Yeah.
It's so obvious that it was
face.
Him. And the things, you know, the thing that is crazy is that the things that I told him, right, they, like, happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it happened. Like, things that, I mean, I'm just going to go around in a circle, but, like, essentially, like, things that I really, without a doubt, like, had I not told them to him, like, I wouldn't have been able to do. Like, it's just, like, so obvious that, like, these were things that, like, were outside of my realm, like,
mm-hmm.
out of my circle, out of my ability to contemplate, and yet,
yeah.
it just happened.
It's
things
literally
just
magic.
Happened. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, you really underscored it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just, like, smiling because I'm thinking of just the obvious results, you know, and it's almost things that are, like glaring, like, gold. I don't know, you know, and it's, like, things that are just so maybe random in my life, you know, that have either really assisted me or been a result of, like, wealth magic that's just, like, well... Yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, obviously, yeah.
I remember, this brings me back to the last day of my calling to Klonik. I remember I was following the same procedure, going out, you know, chasing the sunset out there in my car, getting ready to do the ritual. I did the ritual. I completed it. And prior to the ritual, I told myself, you know, hey, I'm going to, like, really focus on this ritual and, like, I'm going to, like, give it my all, like, 100%. Like, not that, like, what the rituals that I did before it weren't authentic, but this one I was going to say, like, I'm really going to put, like, 150% in it.
Mm.
And I was expecting, you know, to sense the energy. So I go through the ritual, you know, I put my all in it, I'm done. I just, you know how you kind of stay quiet for a moment after you do magic and you just kind of, like, sense...
Mm-hmm.
Everything, and I didn't sense anything. But then out of nowhere, this woman knocked on my window. And I lower the window, and I mean, I'm just, like, appalled at the moment because, like, I just finished the ritual and I'm trying to sense, like, anything. And she looks at me and she says, "That's a beautiful sunset."
Oh my God. I get, yeah. Wow, chills all over my body right now.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's, and I was like,
crazy. Jeez, that's awesome.
I didn't even know what to say to her. I was just like,
speechless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my experience there. But
what were you saying yesterday about spirits speaking through people sometimes?
Yeah.
That's what I was just saying. Mm-hmm.
That sometimes, you know, sometimes you can have like an experience with somebody who, you know, you may not know them, but coincidence just start to happen, and then all of a sudden you start to see these people, and it's like, mm-hmm. the spirit world kind of like communicates through people.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So, yeah, that's what I
got. I
got
chills
saying.
Again. Confirmation chills.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that girl that I was telling you about last night that Yasmin and I ran into on the way down here, like, that was just, you know, as we were coming to do this podcast, and then we meet this, like, basically fellow witch just at a gas station. I mean, that was very synchronistic and very cool. She was very good energy. So, you know, I feel like when you said the spirit thing, I feel like maybe she was like a cheerleader spirit, like, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I do feel like he made her say that because the sunset, and I wanted to mention that Klaunik is more of a day demon, but he has said that his specific time of the day is the sunset. So it is not random that the gallery writes shortly after sunset. Or close to the sunset.
You know what? We were
no coincidence.
When we met that girl last night, it was shortly after sunset.
Now I'm getting
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Oh, mm-hmm. Also, one more thing I want to point out. According to Grimorium Verum, he's a spirit of Mars, because all those servants that I was talking about earlier, that he's the first out of 18 servants, they're all attributed to Mars. And I just feel like maybe that also explains why he works like so like aggressively.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's because he's actually a spirit of Mars.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
I do want to maybe just get y'all's input on this too, because I have a lot of questions from just subscribers that ask or that watch my channel and listen to the podcast about, you know, maybe they have a hang up on working with a demon. And I get it. I mean, I do. And my advice is always to just, like, basically get over it and do it, you know? And you know, more politely, I guess. But what would y'all say? I mean, if somebody was wanting to do wealth magic, but, you know, maybe they, like, were thinking about skipping this because I've seen people say that, or they're like, you know, like, I just don't know about, like, the demon, but I want to, and I'm like, you know, well, just then do it. Like, I mean, maybe y'all's answers is just like mine, but, you know, I wanted to have another voice be heard, too, and just...
This is the final ritual. We did several podcasts where we did kind of prove that several of these spirits are somewhat demonic or they're not angels, and it's definitely not the only demon. It's just the other ones are lesser known.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's also other spirits that are maybe not demons, but they're still somewhat darker spirits as well, but they're so obscure that they did not feel like they have to name this demon. But anyways, getting off topic, but my point is the whole book has, you know, this is not an angel Grimoire, okay? There is different classes of spirits in there. Some are demonic, some are, I guess the black pulled ones are some kind of fire spirits, but they're also darker spirits. And then Iniquil. Anyways, it's just that if you want to work with this book, you have to get over it. And it's not like you can skip one ritual, because I could see some people skipping like Klaunik, but then they're still calling Kalvania, which that is a demon as well. It's if you want to work with this book, you have to get over it. But just know that there's safeguards in place, and that you also, in all cases, saying words of names of words of, you know, names for God. To call him from that side. This is not a left-hand path book either, because we did not read the words of power, but you know, by the sacred names of Adonai, El Elohim, for example, here, and yeah, most of the rituals, they have some kind of safeguards so in place. So it is safe enough to even do for a beginner, as we can all attest to. And we all see that. I think at this point, we all know so many people who have done it in somewhere like beginner level, and they're fine. And then they did not wake up in the middle of the night. And they did not start to see devils.
Yeah. No one died, no tragic accidents.
Right, like nothing bad happened to anyone, even years after. The results are overwhelmingly life-changing and very positive. So, and I've also never heard that anyone had even a scary experience. So just keep that in mind. This is just a review from knowing a lot of people who have done it. And it just seems to be safe anyways.
I would agree with that, like, 100%. Like, you know, in the Facebook group, like, we really truly have, like, a close community, and everyone's talking, and you know, some of these people, you know, communicate with me even years later. You know, they appear back in the group again after, like, being inactive for a while, and all you hear is, like, yeah, just, you know, I had a time where I just had it to focus, and paid off, like, everything's great. Like, in the group, like, there's never been anything that is remotely concerning.
Yes.
You know, and so, you know, like, and just kind of going back to the original question, which is, you know, is it safe to do this and skip the book? It's totally safe in general.
Yes.
Or skip the last ritual, I mean. It's totally safe in general. But, you know, if you're going to go through all of that work in the beginning, all of the life changes, all of the alchemy, to then skip, like, the main event, that it's a, you know, it's counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and just from, you know, studying the book and having done it, it's just, the gallery really figured out a great way to have this process supported by all these different pieces. Every spirit is a piece of a puzzle. You cannot leave out a piece. You will not get these great results if you leave out the piece. It's like leaving out an ingredient to a recipe.
Yeah.
It does not work.
Exactly.
Totally agree. You nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, I had something to say.
It's just, if anything, if someone was to be scared of anything, it's not the spirit. It's like, be scared of, yeah, your life will change. That is the scary part. Like, but
yeah,
be careful what you wish for. You will sometimes see drastic changes.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you bring that up, because a lot of folks will come in and, like, they won't do it because, you know, honestly, they're just scared of that. They're scared of being successful. It's weird, and it sounds like crazy. But some people just aren't ready.
Yeah.
They create these self-limitations that ultimately limit their ability to be successful. And it's just like, you've got the roadmap and you've got the path laid out for you right here. This is everything you need. You know, as you said, it's just like, it's a bunch of rituals mashed together into a grimoire, which basically has all of its original egregore intact, energy intact from the sources, and here it is, do it. And, you know, as he suggests at the end of the book, you know, if you do this the right way and you devote yourself to it, you're going to be successful. If that's what you want, then you can't leave this last part out.
And I think honestly, like, a huge part of, or, you know, what could be helpful is just a sense of community, like, that the Facebook group brings, and also that I had, luckily, you know, and feel blessed to have had when I started Wealth Magic, so that I wasn't alone in doing this. Because I feel like if I had been alone, I might have maybe psyched myself out more, you know. Maybe not. But just the fact that to have other people, to know other people that are doing this too, you know, I think that's maybe the evidence that people need in order to see, like, yeah, this isn't so scary, you know, and, like, yeah, you can hear us three say that, you know, but when you see dozens of people, you know, or say that, hundreds even, like, then that's more proof, you know, and just more confirmation. So I really am grateful that you have, you know, you have that Facebook group and everything, and that there is a community for this sort of thing, you know. And that it's not something that, just because it is a cult, you know, like, there's other people in the occult, like, that, you can share it with. It doesn't have to remain like a hidden secret, like, you know, maybe just from some people, but not from everybody. And it's so much to learn from others too.
Yeah, but, yeah. It's a tough commitment, and I agree with you. I think if you don't have like friends around that you can talk to or ask questions, I mean, sometimes like people ask questions in the group that, you know, I never would have thought of before, and like they're interesting, and mm-hmm. I've read the book obviously twice and done it twice, mm-hmm. but sometimes they just, you know, they ask very interesting questions that, like, you know, where are you going to get this information from? You know, Damon Brand and the Gallery of Magic, you know, you can't ask them questions anymore. Mm-hmm. You can't get any information out of them. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I tried it. but like, yeah, like, you know, it's definitely great. It's mm-hmm. definitely great. The group originally started as just a few folks. We all were doing, I was doing it my second time. We were all doing it together, and then people just started knocking on the door, like, wanting to know, like, how our experience was. And at the time, there was nothing out there. No one ever commented on it. And a lot of people, like, there were people that were very successful at it and had a lot of great things, but they'd disappear, and they wouldn't talk about it. Mm. And, you know, here we are. We've definitely created a community with those who are starting out and were like me at the beginning of this, had nothing. And then there's people like me who are devoted to the group mm-hmm. to answer questions in the hopes that you do this and become successful at mm-hmm. it, so that, you know, I can see you all at the top mm-hmm. and you know, watch you guys improve your lives and make it better. Mm-hmm. That's what the group has been devoted to. And some of those people that have been successful, you know, you see them come back mm-hmm. and they're talking, and they're helping too, and that's also great. You know, that's part of the community. But it's just so awesome. It's so phenomenal to have that support system there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. It's a cool thing.
Yes, definitely. I'll join the club soon.
Awesome. Well, mm-hmm. this was our very last podcast. I want to thank everyone who has been tuning in and listening to us talk about this phenomenal book. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the very last time that we talk about the book ever again. So I hope that the preceding conversations and discussions that we've had have been helpful. Again, I want to thank everyone who's tuned in. Mm-hmm. Enjoy, and thanks again.
Yeah, thank you guys. It means a lot.
Thank you.